Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McClavey welcoming you to our time together. This is the third Sunday of Advent, a time when we truly recognize the joy of our relationship with Jesus Christ and the joy that comes from the arrival of the Christ child, the joy that comes to the world. That's why we sing hymns like Joy to the World and other songs of joyful exuberance, because it is that time of the season. This morning I'm going to do a message from the prophet Micah. And this is prophet Micah declaring the coming of the Messiah, even though it was about 700 years prior to Jesus' arrival on the earth. It's amazing how the prophets were able to get it right. It was prophets like Micah and Isaiah who described the coming of Jesus in ways that became true. And so it's another one of those miracles that we look at when we realize that what we read in Scripture is true. So as we prepare now to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Dear Lord, on this third Sunday of Advent, we do bow humbly before you. We thank you for the promise of better times, times of joy that are coming along with the arrival of the Christ child. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you speak to us through Scripture. We pray now that you will open our hearts and our minds. Help us to hear your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So yes, I have entitled this morning's message, God's Promise of Better Times. And it comes from the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Marshal your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. All we could ever imagine, could ever hope for. He is the Prince of Peace, whose first coming has already transformed the world, but whose second coming will forever establish justice and righteousness. All this, and infinitely more, alive in an impoverished baby in a barn. That is what Advent means, the anticipation of the arrival of Christ, first as a most unlikely newborn infant, and second as the truly triumphant King of Kings. In this Advent season, we are looking at the theme of God's promise of better days for our lives. That is the hope of Advent and Christmas, that God has done something in Christ that changes everything. The season of Advent is this idea of God's promises of better days, promises which all eventually find their fulfillment in the coming of Jesus Christ. And so this week we'll look at what Micah has to say about the coming days of Christ. As Christians, true followers of Christ and his teachings, we are concerned about injustice and violence in our world. There is a whisper that comes out of the pages of the Bible. It begins quietly, but by the time we reach the books of the prophets, the voice gets louder and louder. And the voice of God through those visionary, peace-seeking prophets went something like this. You were made for better days. The strong oppress the weak. The rich pummel the poor. Nation goes to war against nation. But I, the Lord, have made you for better days, and I will bring those better days to pass. The ancient Jews had a word to describe those better days. They called it shalom, Hebrew for peace. In the Bible, God's peace, shalom, meant much more than simply the absence of war. It indicated more than a positive state in our souls or a private transaction between God and us. The longing for God's shalom included those things, but for those radical Jewish believers, peace was much bigger and broader. Shalom meant not only inner peace or spiritual peace, it meant wholeness and completeness throughout all creation. It meant the end of injustice. It meant the rich would no longer devour the poor. It meant all brokenness would be set right and healed. It meant that people would love one another. Shalom would flow deep and broad, embracing all of creation, including plants, animals, and the earth itself. As the story of the Bible unfolded, God dropped clues that would awaken our hearts to long for better days. For the Jews, the hope of shalom was wrapped up in a person. Someone is coming, they believed, who will open the door to peace. The question was who? The prophet Isaiah put it this way, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." In Isaiah 11, God whispered again, "A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit." Who is this bearer of shalom, and where will he come from? Well, the prophet Micah lived about 700 years before Jesus was born. Micah lived in a mid-sized town called Moresheth. It was about 25 miles south of Jerusalem. The Hebrew word for prophet literally means to see. Like the other prophets, Micah saw things everyone else wanted to ignore. He records unspeakable violence and injustice. Not only did this injustice outrage Micah, it also connected him once again with those ancient promises of better days. God whispered into his ear, "Remember, Micah, someone is coming who will bring peace." As a result, the promises of better days pop up again and again in this very short book of Micah. Micah describes the coming The coming one in chapter 4, verse 3, as someone who judges between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. Under this person's leadership, the nations will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. This is a beautiful picture of deep and rich and wide shalom. Perhaps many of us echoed this longing for better days in our youth, but when we got busy and decided to settle into real life, things changed. Who has time to dream about better days when we're not sure how to make it through this day? We have bills to pay, health problems to resolve, and a retirement plan to build. The list of responsibilities goes on and on. Longing for peace, longing for justice, aching for better days. It seems we just don't have time or the proper motivation anymore. After all, we actually looked long and hard at the world around us. And if we were honest with ourselves, it might seem like too large of a task. How much of what we are hearing today is a longing and aching for peace and justice? Rather, we hear of greed and a desire for more power. Nevertheless, every once in a while, something cracks our hearts wide open, and a voice whispers, "You were made for better days. You long for peace, because there is a peace giver." It's in Micah 5, verse 1, where it describes a king being publicly humiliated. It says, "They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek." In verse 3, the prophet describes the time when the nation would be conquered, divided, and sent into exile. Micah compares these days of abandonment and groaning to a woman's groaning during childbirth. And yet, into this violent and seemingly hopeless situation, God will send his peace. But look carefully, Micah warns, or you might miss his coming. When God brings peace, he will do it so quietly that you just might miss it. That's the way God's shalom comes. Not with a marching band and pomp and ceremony, but quietly and to unlikely people. In Isaiah 11, God told us that the Messiah would come like a branch growing out of a stump. The peace bearer would arise. And now Micah tells us in chapter 5, verse 2, that the coming one, the Messiah, will come from a very quiet place, Bethlehem. Bethlehem literally means house of bread, and it was a small, insignificant town. And though he comes from an insignificant place, he is nevertheless God's peace giver. Verse 4 tells us he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. How big and broad and all-encompassing God's shalom is. And finally, Micah says, and he will be their peace. This promised shalom is wrapped up in one person. This reality that we're aching and longing for, that seems always out of reach, has come, and it's wrapped up in a person, the Messiah. Who is it? Micah hits a dead end. He knows God's shalom is big and beautiful and real, and he knows it will come through someone sent by God. But it will have to wait until Christmas. 700 years later, as it is recorded in our New Testament, there's a story about a strange birth. Someone is born, and the clues begin to point in the same direction. Just as Micah predicted, this peace bringer comes from Bethlehem. We read that in Matthew chapter 2. Another witness proclaims the following about the coming one. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. We read that in Luke 1. When he comes, an entire host of angels start singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to all whom God favors." Could it be? Is this the one all the clues were pointing to? Around the globe on Christmas Eve, followers of Jesus will celebrate the coming of the peace God intended for his creation. Once lost because of sin and longed for by all creation, but that peace has come in Jesus. He's the one Micah pronounced who would be our peace. This may all sound abstract and very impersonal. You may wonder, how does this affect my life? Well, first, we need peace with God. We want peace everywhere in the world. But the message of Jesus, the revolution of peace that started on that first Christmas, means that peace has to start in our hearts. We can't be effective instruments for peace until we find peace within our personal relationships with God. According to the biblical story, everything Jesus did, including living, teaching, dying on the cross, and rising from the dead, was designed to reconcile us with God the Father. And that's why the New Testament declares so wildly and joyfully that peace has been offered. It's in Romans 5 that it says, "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." As a good Jew, Paul was steeped in the story of the Bible, including the promise of shalom in both Isaiah and Micah. Paul resisted the good news for a long time, but then Jesus broke into his heart, and Paul knew that Jesus was the promised shalom bearer, the peace bearer, that he knew from Scripture. In Jesus, we can become peacemakers in this world. We can be instruments of God's peace. The Messiah calls us to join his revolutionary movement of bringing shalom to a broken world. As followers of Jesus, we are now called to announce the good news that others can be reconciled to God. We begin this peacemaking journey in our homes and neighborhoods and families. Peace does not mean the absence of conflict. It means working through the conflict to bring peace into our relationships. We stand up for those who are treated with injustice. We ask for the Messiah to bring his peace into our community. Being a peacemaker under Christ's reign also propels us to live in hope. By ourselves, left to our own devices, we can never finish the job of peacemaking. We build programs and institutions and hospitals and schools. We start movements and initiatives, but they tend to run down or grow corrupt. All of our efforts are partial at best. At worst, they are deeply flawed, filled with our own ego and unmet needs. But Jesus, the Messiah, promises to finish the job. The Bible reminds us, in Revelation 21, the Bible reminds us that we're sinners with crippling limitations, but God has a plan. God will bring His peace. So notice, too, that the call from Jesus to be a peacemaker is incredibly hopeful. God doesn't call the perfect and unbroken to be His peacemakers. No, it's in Isaiah 4 that God declares that He chooses the lame and the outcast. The Messiah brings shalom to the earth, and He calls us to join Him. But He doesn't call the perfect. He calls the wounded and imperfect. And that's good news to us. So in this Advent season, we are looking for God's promise of better times ahead. We are looking forward to the arrival of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah and Amen. Friends, this morning, Alan Vest has prepared for us a great song that is so appropriate for this season of the year. It's a song that was actually written by Whitney Houston, entitled, "Who Would Imagine a King?" So this morning, arranged and performed by Alan Vest, here is "Who Would Imagine a King."
was quite clear when the wise men arrived and the angels were singing your name, that the world would be different 'cause you were alive. That's why
thanks to Alan for that great song, Who Would Imagine a King? Well, friends, as we go forward into this next week, and actually as we approach Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day, let's remember that the prophets, 700 years before Jesus arrived on earth, were telling us that the Prince of Peace was coming. The Messiah was on his way. And I love it in Micah chapter 5, verse 4, where it says, "He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth." And how true that is. Those are words to ponder. Have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.